Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is so good. Amen. Praise the Lord. I said, God is so good. I'm so thankful for the Lord. I'm so thankful for what He's doing, what He's done, what He continues to do. God is so, so good. Amen. I'm so glad. You know, it's so funny. Every time I come to the pulpit to minister, there's always that moment beforehand where I think, man, this is what I get to do. This is what, you know, I get to be here tonight and minister to people and minister God's word to people. You know, I've been seeking God. Of course, I do my best to seek the Lord at all times. I found this, I don't know if you found this, but I find that, seeking God isn't something that you can just do once a week. It's not something that you can just do on a certain day, but it's something that you have to continually do. You know, I found this, that even if I spend hours with the Lord in the morning, that I have to, if I lose track of that throughout the day, I have to bring myself back to seeking Him again and being in that place of, you know, because God, and I've learned this about the Lord, He doesn't just want, He doesn't just want a moment of our day. Praise the Lord. He wants our whole day. He doesn't just want moments or parts of our life. He wants our whole life. So how do we do that? How do we qualify ourselves, qualify that? How do we live our lives in such a way that, because, you know, there's things that we have to do, right? There's jobs that we have to work, and there's things that we have to do to maintain. You know, I've been working on my house. Actually, I wasn't working on my house today. I was preparing for a message, and then all of a sudden my family started freaking out because they hear water pouring in the basement, which isn't typically a good sign, especially when you have a finished basement, which we've been working on. One of my projects is I have been working on our bathroom, our master bathroom. And so I had that torn apart for a couple weeks now, really is what it's been, and just working. It's a lot of work. I didn't ever realize how much work tiling is and stuff like that. But when I tore the tub out, of course, I tore the drain out and had the drain disconnected, and it's been fine for about a week or so, maybe a little bit more, but all of a sudden it wasn't fine and water started pouring out of that open drain. And so I find myself, instead of just completely preparing, I find myself doing plumbing in the afternoon, because how many know that you can't have water pouring into your basement? Wouldn't be a good day. But praise the Lord, I endeavor to spend time with Him. It really wasn't that bad of a job. But my wife got covered with some old chicken noodle soup, I think. Praise the Lord. I said, here, hold this bucket here while I cut through this drain. And she did. And as I did, all of a sudden it came out. She said she knew she was coming. But see, that's how faithful my wife is. She's like, I knew it was coming, but I wasn't going to drop the bucket. And really what it was is she knew that she'd have more to clean up probably if she did. And so she just took it. But praise the Lord, you know, things happen and things will come in your day that will sometimes try to rob you. But you know, I was getting to a point here. How do we live this life and do all the things we have to do and still seek God? Well, we just make our lives something that we can't include God in. Do you understand what I'm saying? If we live our lives in such a way that God is just included in everything we do, then we don't have to worry about not including Him. You know what I mean? It doesn't mean that you're always going to be praying or that you're always going to be reading the Word, but our hearts should always be on Him. Amen? We should always have a heart to Him. Amen? Praise the Lord. Tonight's message is called A Better Way. Glory to God, and we're going to be talking about living by faith. Praise the Lord. It was interesting again this week. Just sometime during the week, I started getting the message, and the Lord finished it today for me. So, part of it came earlier in the week, and I don't even remember specifically what I was on. You know, from any given moment, I found studying the Word and studying the things of God. At any given moment, you can get into a place where you're literally just you're going down different rabbit trails. You know, one thing leads to another, and of course, the Spirit of the Lord will speak to you as you're studying the Word. That's one of the wonderful things about the Bible. You know, we call the Bible the living Word of God, and I love that. Growing up, I had a living Bible, the new living translation or something like that. It was called the Living Bible. I don't even remember what the translation was all about, but that phrase stuck with me. I knew that I had a living Bible. It was the living Word of God. Amen. And God will, and He'll take you down different paths, because how many know that even if you're reading the same scripture, you might need to know something else today? Amen. And so the Lord will take you down a different path to get you somewhere else where he needs you to get to go. Amen. And so if you just follow him and you're open to it. And so a lot of times I'll be in a bunch of different things in a bunch of different ways, and glory to God for it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, we're going to start over there in Galatians 2. So if you turn with me, Galatians 2:20. You know, it's funny as we're turning there. You know, we try to read the scriptures, of course, and, you know, recently I had changed the Bible that I preach out of, and I said to Caleb last week, I think, I said, you know, I want to change all the our weekly scriptures to that version as well. And it's funny because then when you go to read it, and I've even found this as I've been preaching, I'll go to read a scripture that I know, but I'll try to read it the way that I always did. Even though I'm reading it, I'll try to read it the way I always did. And sometimes I stumble on the words a little bit. But, you know, I mean, no, that's good for you. Because then we don't get so used to something that, you know, it's good to know the scripture, but it's better to know the scripture. Amen. It's better to understand what it's saying. Praise the Lord. And so we don't want to get so familiar with it that we just repeat things out of, you know, just out of habit, but we actually know what we're saying, that we think about it. Amen. Praise the Lord. The only way to live is living by faith. That's what I have written down here to start this. And so we're going to start with that in mind. Amen. Galatians 2:20. Praise the Lord. It says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Praise the Lord. We often talk about crucifying the flesh, and we might a little bit tonight. Real hard to be in a crucifying the flesh scripture and not talk any about crucifying the flesh. In fact, I'm just going to be honest with you. One of the things I've learned the secret to life. You want to know what it is? Yeah. Crucifying the flesh. Amen. 99.9% of my problems that I deal with are somewhere I have not crucified the flesh. Praise God. And so, you know, when and of course we know that that's speaking metaphorically, but it does feel like you're killing off something sometimes, don't it? When you're dealing with yourself or you're dealing with an issue, sometimes don't it just feel like, man, if I you know, I've been working at losing weight again, and I'm just going to tell you the truth. It feels like I'm killing myself to do it. I haven't really even been doing anything that major, but it feels like I'm killing myself to do it. What is it? What do I mean by that? I mean, you see a cookie laying out on the counter. Normally you would eat it, and now you're not going to because you want to crucify the flesh. It feels like you're killing yourself not to eat that cookie, don't it? Isn't it amazing how things will get a hold of you? But that's not what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about crucifying the flesh, and that seems less than fun, right? But tonight we're going to focus on the other part, which is, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Amen. Faith in the Son of God is the most important place that we can live. If we don't have faith, if we're not living from that place of faith, everything else falls apart from there. You know, there's so many people that think that they're living by faith, but really they're just living. They're actually living by themselves, and they try to include faith, but you know, faith is really just putting all our trust in the Lord. It's casting all of our putting all of our eggs in His basket. It's casting all of our care on Him. It's getting to a place where we don't trust ourselves at all anymore. And what I mean by that is that we're not looking to our, not that we, when I say don't trust ourselves, I mean, you know, you don't want people to come up to you and say, ah, oh, I'd love to do that for you, but I can't do that because I don't even trust myself. Right? That's not a good place to be either. And that's not what I'm talking about. But what I'm talking about is a lot of the things, you know, when we have struggles in life, when we are facing different oppositions in life, the reason we're facing it is because we're trying to do that on our own ability. If we're trying to get over something, we're trying to do so on our ability. See, if we just trust in the Lord, then it takes away a lot of pressure off of us. Because when it's not done in our ability, but His ability, praise God, hallelujah. His ability, you know, His ability has no failures. It has no place where it's going to let you, it might miss it for a moment. Amen? You know, I talk about dieting or anything else that you're doing in life. You know, if you're exercising or you're doing whatever, trying to be better about things, you know, there's a place where you could miss it. Amen. You know, last night we decided, I've been doing good all week and my eating and stuff like that are pretty good anyways. And so last night we decided we were going to treat ourselves with some pizza. Well, we treated ourselves with pizza, and today I woke up and decided to have a donut too, or half a donut, you know what I mean? And so you get that ball rolling and you can't trust yourself. You know, there's a failure on your part, but you know, it's the thing that I love about the way the body is designed is it doesn't really matter. That didn't kill me to do that. Now it kills you when you live that way, right? Praise the Lord. I've been even doing this thing, and I don't know why I'm sharing all this, probably just because it's what I do and it's where we are, you know. But I've been doing this new approach to weight loss that is more dealing with the psychological aspect of it, not just the actual action of it. Because, you know, and I've been finding it actually helps, because I think I've thought about food wrong. I've thought about things wrong, and I'm not trying to, you know, to try to get you all on a weight loss program or anything like that. But I'm just talking about the process, you know, it's how we think about things in general. And we know the word is like that as well. Amen. But just because you miss it in an area doesn't mean you're going to fail or that you're going to lose everything. You know, and the thing is with God, we have to learn to live in faith in Him. The faith, you know, notice it doesn't say, you know, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in myself. I live in faith by my faith of my pastor, or faith of my neighbor, or my spouse, or my friends, or whatever. You know, I live by faith in the Son of God. So we have to trust what He's done. We have to trust who He is. And that, you know, even though we fail at different times, even though we might miss the mark, we can trust that He will get us back there. And how do we release this? This is kind of the key. How do we step over into that, right? That's a question that I think I've had a lot of times, and I'm sure you have. How do we, when I'm in a mess, how do I start that process of trusting in God? How do I start that problem, that process of faith? Amen? It's real easy. You start it with your words. You start it with what you know. You go to the Word and you believe the Word, don't you? You see the words, and so then you go to God and you say, Father, I trust you. I'm just letting you know that. I trust you. And this is an issue that I'm dealing with, but I'm trusting you to help me. I'm trusting you to show me, and I know that I'm going to conquer this through you. That's the step of faith that God is waiting for us to take. Do you know that if we would just make that one statement in any issue that we have, that instantly pleases the Lord? Because that instantly tells Him that you know that you are on the same page that He is. I know I can't do it, God. There is nothing wrong with admitting that we can't do something. Amen. Everything I've tackled is much bigger than I am. My bathroom project, much bigger than I am. Tiling, much bigger than I am. Plumbing, I have thought about that drain. I'm going to be honest with you. I had all the parts because I had already planned to do it. But I had thought about that drain a week ago. I thought about doing that drain several times in the last week. You know why I didn't? Because the drain in my mind was bigger than me. At the moment, you know, I was like, I had to do some figuring, and I don't love plumbing. And I don't love plumbing because it seems like, you know, it's like you cut something one way. And the thing about plumbing, if you don't know, is especially drain lines, is when you put it together, you got to glue it together. And so if you're doing something in between one spot and another spot, everything has to be pretty exact. And once you glue it, it sets up pretty quick. I mean, when I'm talking about quick, I mean like in seconds. Like you get a couple good turns on it and it's tight, it's done, and you ain't moving it again. And the thing is once you do that, it's set. There's no removing it or there's no fixing it. There's only removal or whatever, and then doing it all over again, which isn't fun. And so sometimes that can be a little bit stressful. So I thought about that drain. But you know, when I was forced into the situation, I figured it out and I did it. In fact, I did it in a lot less time than I thought it was going to take me. It took me more time to gather the pieces that I had laying around and a couple of the tools that I needed than it did to actually do the drain. It only took me a few minutes to do the drain. You know, and that is the way things are with life sometimes. Sometimes there's so much that pulls at us and tries to get us to focus on why we can't do something or our inability. But that's when we need to show what our faith really is, and that's put it into His court. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Turn with me to Psalm 37. I love this scripture. Usually I read more than just the one we're going to read. We're just reading one. But I love the scripture, Psalm 37, verse 3. Now, it says, the life that I now live, we just read that, the life that I now live, praise the Lord, in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. So he points out two things there. He points out that I'm living in the flesh. So to be a Christian means you're going to still live in the flesh. You're still going to deal with the flesh, which is why it said to crucify the flesh. Amen? But living gives us the idea of that you're going to continue on in something. You're going to continue on in life, right? And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul was trying to help us with, is that we're going to continue on in this life, but this is how we're going to do it. I love that the life that I now live, I'm going to live differently. I'm going to live it in faith. Yeah. Amen? And that's a very important thing. And we see this over here in Psalm 37, 3, and that's why I love this scripture so much. And this is really where my heart was drawn to instantly when I was studying out the last scripture. Trust in the Lord and do good. Glory to God. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Now, in my old version always said, feed on his faithfulness. I never saw it this way before. I like this new version. I like this because, you know, sometimes it's good to go to a different translation just to kind of shake things up a little bit, to get you to think about things from a different angle, you know. But it's really interesting here. You know, what drew me here was the word dwell, to dwell in the land. You know, the Lord instructs us to dwell in the land. Of course, this is after we've trusted in God and we do good. You know, it's good to dwell in the land. What is that? To live in the land. Now, when the Bible tells us to live in the land, it's not just telling us to live there, because you were doing that anyways. You don't need any prophet to tell you to live where you're at, right? Or to live wherever you're going, because you're going to live there. If I pick up and leave here, if I go out of Corey or out of Pennsylvania or out of New York State, and I go over to California, now I'm dwelling there, right? I don't need a word to tell me that that's what I'm doing. So we understand that it's not just telling us to just live, but it's telling us to dwell a certain way. And that dwelling is what the scripture just got done telling us, trusting in God and doing good. Doing those things which we know are good, but trusting God as we're doing them. See, how we dwell matters. How we're going to live matters. And so we have to approach this life from that standpoint, because in the number one place where we're going to have to crucify our flesh is in how we live. Now, I'm not talking about how we live, like, okay, now you're not going to do this anymore, you're not going to do that anymore. I'm talking about in context, how we're going to live is going to have to be in the flesh, in the faith. Praise the Lord. We have to dwell a certain way. If we're going to be followers of Christ, if we're going to be disciples of Jesus, we're going to have to live a certain way. In the flesh, in the faith. That might be a better name for this message. In the flesh, in the faith. Glory to God. Don't change the name on the thing. But you know, that's a statement that we should really think about. We're going to dwell wherever we're at in the flesh, but we're going to do it in faith. Man, if we would learn this concept of how to dwell in the land, you know, this Bible says to cultivate faithfulness. I love that. To cultivate faithfulness. To cultivate. It does mean to feed, but it means to produce something, you know, to produce as you're living there, to produce faithfulness as we live there. What is faithfulness? It's being faithful to God. It's doing what he has called us to do. Glory to God. And that's also how we can feed on his faithfulness. But I do believe that this is an accurate translation. And that's exciting to me. To dwell literally means to settle down. Now, I know when it says to settle down, what it means is to, you know, we're going to settle down. I'm going to get married and settle down. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. We're going to settle down over here. Or we're going to settle down over there. We got some people here that are settled down in Corey or in the area. We got some that are settled in Sugar Grove, and some that are settled in Falconer or Ellington. We're out there. Praise the Lord. All over the place. We're settled everywhere. But when I read that to dwell means to settle down, I don't think it's a stretch to say this, but this is how I read it, to settle down. You need to just settle down. So you're getting all worked up about life, you're getting all worked up about things, just settle down. Why do we tell people to do that? It's the same phrase. It's the same English phrase, isn't it? Because it's telling you something. You need to just calm down. You need to settle down. You need to get to a place where you're dwelling, praise the Lord, in faith, in the flesh, in faith. Glory to God. This is what God has called us to. Faith, of course, is reliance. It means reliance, assurance, conviction of truth, the character of one who can be relied upon. I love that. The character of one who can be relied upon. You know, when you look at your struggle, you need to ask yourself, why am I struggling? Why am I struggling? And I can guarantee you, I got a hair up here. I'm sorry. can't stand to have that there. I guarantee the answer to why am I struggling, if you really search deep enough, is because your faith is mostly in what you can or you cannot do. Praise the Lord. If you're having a struggle of any kind, it's because your faith is in what you can or you can't do. If you live in struggle, that simply tells you, listen, this isn't condemnation, but this is how we, you know, I go to the doctor. If I go to my doctor for something, I say, Doc, I got this pain here, right? I don't have a pain, but if I got a pain, and I say, Lord, or Doc, I have a pain here, and he's going to start asking me questions. Well, have you been doing this? Have you been doing that? He's going to diagnose me, right? He's going to look at the issue, and he's going to try to figure out what it is. Now, I have had stuff before that I have been misdiagnosed with. Fortunately, nothing major, but things that they thought maybe was one thing, but it turns out it was something else. My wife has had the same issue before, different medical things where they thought it was one thing and it just nothing was working. And then all of a sudden, when they figure it out, they get to the answer. Well, see, this is a way we should look at correction from the Word. It isn't to get down on us and say, hey, you're a terrible person. It's to say, no, this is where the problem is. This is what it is. It's honing in on the problem. And that's what we're doing right here. If you live in struggle, it's because you haven't yet submitted to God. You haven't lived in faith. You're not dwelling in the land. Yes, you're dwelling, but you're not dwelling in His land. You're not dwelling in His place. You haven't crucified the flesh. And that's what we have to do, is we have to step back to crucifying the flesh. Now, when we look at crucifying the flesh, often we look at it like, you know, you used to live this life. You used to go to the bars and stuff like that. Now you're going to crucify the flesh. You're not going to do that. You used to fornicate. Now you're going to crucify the flesh. You're not going to fornicate anymore. Or you used to do this, or you used to do that bad thing. You used to swear, or you used to do whatever. And now you're not going to do those things anymore because you realize that those are sinful. And so you're going to crucify the flesh. And yes, that is a form of crucifying the flesh. But crucifying the flesh goes much deeper than that. Yeah. It goes all the way to the place of submitting to God. Yeah. I don't want to trust that I can't just figure this out. Right. But you got to be okay with not just figuring it out. One of the things that we've learned over the years, you know, I believe God is a God of prosperity. He wants us. He desires us all to prosper. I believe that. But one of the things that we've really kind of hammered against, and if you've been around us any length of time, you've heard this, but we hammer against the extreme prosperity gospel where people are, just claiming whatever you want and getting whatever you want. That is not God, and that is not the gospel. The Bible does not teach us that. In fact, the Bible warns us against that. Amen? Warns us very specifically against that. But one of the things that I have learned as I've walked through life is that God will purposely not allow me to have certain things at certain times because I need to have something, I need to learn something through it. Yeah. And there are times where God is okay with you not having enough because He wants you to rely on Him. Yeah. There are times where God wants you to get to a place where you can't, so that you rely on Him. And see, what the flesh always does is when we get to a place where we don't have enough, we automatically resort to getting upset and getting to a place where, getting ourselves worked up. As a Christian, there is no room in Christian faith to be upset by what you ain't even got. Because if you know God, you know He'll bring it. But see, if you're going to rely on yourself, see, God wants you to get that self-reliance. He wants to get it out of you. You know why? Because it stinks to Him. You know, where sacrifice of our lives and putting down our day and serving the Lord, where that is a sweet-smelling aroma to God? When we do things on our own ability, or we simply just rely on ourselves and we don't even think about God, it stinks to Him. It's a foul odor. I was going to say order. Got to get the words right there, amen? It's a foul odor to the Lord. It stinks in His nostrils. And so God wants to remove that from your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Crucifying the flesh is saying to yourself, I can't, and I'm okay with it. Yeah. I can't afford it, and I'm okay with it. Do you know how many times as a pastor that the Lord has taught me to crucify my flesh? I'm just going to tell you, if you want to learn about crucifying the flesh, start pastoring a church, because that's exactly what He'll start doing. Because there'll be weeks where not enough money comes in. There'll be weeks when not enough people come in. There'll be weeks where you just got to deal with one problem after another, and all of them are caused by somebody else simply not listening to you. Praise the Lord. And you have to crucify the flesh. You have to learn to crucify the flesh, because in those times, there ain't nothing you can do about it. There'll be people, they'll be mad at you about what somebody else did. And the only thing that you can do is trust God. I can't control the way you think. I can't make you think right. There's been times where I know people that are in my church are going through something, and the only thing that I can do to them is preach them the word. The only thing I can do. There are times where there's people, my wife and I have had these conversations, where there are people in my church, and we say, in our churches, and we'll say, this is literally that moment where we see whether or not they're going to continue or not. There are people that I am just as surprised, faithful people, that when I come on a Saturday night or a Sunday morning, I am just as surprised that they are there. I wouldn't have been any more surprised if that had been the week prior or whatever had been their last week. And so you have to learn to rely on God. When you come out and you go into the plan of God, you step into the plan of God, there will be many things that won't look like they're going to happen. There'll be many things that look like it's opposite of what prosperity would teach. And you know something? You need to be okay with it. And the reason you need to be okay with that is because God's okay with that. Why is He okay with that? Because He has the ability to give you anything. So if you don't have, there's a reason you don't have. And maybe the reason is that something doesn't belong to you, but maybe it's because it's not time yet. Maybe it's because God's strengthening you. Whatever the reasoning is, you have to be okay with that. Because the life we now live, we can't live the way we used to live. We can't live in a place where we rely on the flesh anymore, where we rely on our job anymore, where we rely on our education, or we rely on our family status, or we rely on any of these things. We have to rely on the Lord. That's what crucifying the flesh really is. It's putting some people never even get to that point because they won't even crucify the flesh and the other things. They come into the faith. Oh, praise the Lord. I was just started reading this book. And the book was called, how is it called? How Saved Are We? I think it's called. And I'm telling you, I got through the first chapter, maybe the first two chapters, and I'm just like, ouch, hallelujah. I mean, it's one of those that's getting you good, you know. But one of the things that he was talking about, we tell people sometimes, we'll tell people, you know, you just pray this prayer and you're saved. Yeah, right. And we don't ever talk about the rest of it. Mm-hmm. Do you know there's more to being saved than just praying a prayer? Because you can pray a prayer to be saved and never truly be saved. There's much more to it than that. There's living a life submitted to God. That's part of being saved. Amen. I would say this, a person who gets saved in the sense that they pray the prayer, but never serves God, never follows after God, I'm going to question whether they're not really, or if they're really even saved. Now, God knows, but the point is that there's more to being saved. And one of the big things is learning to crucify the flesh. We have to crucify our flesh. We have to put us down and exalt Him. And anywhere in our life where God is not exalted above everything else in that area of life, God will require it. I said He will require it. And so if it makes you, and God is patient. We pray for God to be patient, right? We like that God's patient. Why? Because if God wasn't patient, we'd be wiped out. But do you know what the patience of God literally means? It means He'll wait your entire life to get it right if that's what He has to wait for. Wow. I mean, that's the truth. God will wait your entire life if you're going to be that way. He will wait for you to get it right. He will let you make one mistake right after another until you get it right. God has called us to a certain lifestyle, and He's okay with us not having, if that's what it means. You know one thing I've found, and this is a truth, this is an absolute truth statement. In fact, I wrote down, I got a title earlier as I was sitting there during announcements, I think, for a message. I don't know if it'll be here, for here. I don't know if I'll preach it at all. But the title is, How Free Do You Want to Be? And see, the answer to the question is this. How much are you willing to do? How much are you willing to act? Because really, if you don't act on the word, you're not going to have much freedom. So until we're okay with acting on the truth, we're not going to walk in the freedom that God has already provided for us. It belongs to us. It's ours. But if we're not going to walk it out, we're not going to walk it out. One of the thing that I was going to say to you, the reason I got on that, was because I have seen people who literally, people that have financial, my pastor and I have talked about this many times, people who have financial issues in their life. They can't make ends meet. And yet they make gobs and gobs of money. The money is not the problem. Actually, most of the time, where there's a lack of money in a situation, lack of money or lack of earning is not the problem. Almost every single time, it comes down to poor stewardship. Poor stewardship. That's the thing that robs from people. It's sometimes, you know, one of the things we have in our society is this, I want it now, so I got to have it now. Yeah. People aren't okay with not having it. My wife and I, there's things that we want. But we were just having this conversation today. There's things that we want, things that we're planning, things that are good, things like new appliances, stuff like that. And we were about to pull the trigger on some. But what we would rather do is not be in debt. And so we'll take the time and we'll wait to have those new appliances until the debt is paid, until we get things done. We're not just going to heap up more. But see, that's an issue that a lot of people don't think about. And I don't know why I'm on this, but that's an issue that a lot of people don't think about. They get caught up into troubles because they've created this and created that and created that without ever seeking the Lord on whether or not it was what they were supposed to do. You know, I say this all the time. If I'm going to make a major purchase, I always submit it to someone. Praise the Lord. Why? Because I want the input of someone I trust before I make something to see a different side of it. Now, sometimes it will change something and sometimes it won't, but it's good when you can do that. Amen? Praise the Lord. So when you struggle, you have to ask yourself, why am I struggling? And you have to ask yourself, wanting the true answer. Yeah. You know, you say, well, I'm struggling because I don't have enough. No, there's a deeper reason. You got to dig deeper. Right. Why don't you have enough? Praise the Lord. Now, you know, there could be a lot of reasons for not having enough. There could be, well, I'm not faithful to God in finances. If I'm not faithful to God in finances, I'll never have enough naturally. Right. Never. And, you know, my wife has often talked about this. You know, we're not just talking about tithing, but the Bible talks about much more than that. It talks about the New Testament, we're held to a higher standard. Praise the Lord. And so sometimes we're going to have to sacrifice. That's another thing that we've learned in life. Sometimes you have to go through periods of time where it's sacrifice and no increase. Maybe you get increase, But it's meant for sacrifice. And you have to sacrifice that back to the Lord. See, a lot of us, we get a raise, and the first thing we run to do is say, well, what else can I buy? What else can I do with it? Instead of asking God, Lord, what do you want me to do with that? In fact, I learned this years ago. I remember one day, I had been invited to this, it was this big dinner thing, and it was free for me. So I was blessed by it. It was a big clam bake, amen? And free, all you can eat raw clams. You can eat as many as you wanted. And I ate tons of them. But I went to this. When I went to this, we were dirt poor. We had no money. I couldn't afford a ticket. I couldn't have afforded a discount ticket. It was just the way it was. But I got a free ticket, and so I was blessed by that. But as I was there, I was there and I was talking to another friend. A friend of mine was there as well, and he gave me a handshake. And in the handshake was I can't remember, was like $100 or $150, which at the time may as well have been $1 million. It was a lot of money. I mean, I'm still blessed by $100. Don't get me wrong, but I mean at the time it was like that wasn't something I could even find if we wanted to. And, I was excited at first because I'm like, oh, I got this money. But then I remembered the things that we had been taught. And so I put it before the Lord and I said, Father, you got this money to me. What do you want me to do with it? And then, because, the first thing you think is, where can I spend it? And the thing that the Lord spoke to me at that time was, remember, you had been desiring to get this specific ... And it wasn't a toy or something like that, but it was something that I needed. And that was where the money was to go. And so every time that the Lord brings me money, I try to put that before Him. Lord, we live our lives, we dwell in such a way that we have our hearts open to the Lord. Lord, what of ours do you need or want, or what do you want us to do with it? We're always open to that. And that's a place that a Christian has to live at if they want to be successful in the Lord. So a lot of times they're like, people are just seeking more. They're seeking how do we get into this or how do we get into that? And the whole thing is based on the fact that they're either being faithful or not faithful. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. And so if we would be honest with ourselves and ask, why am I struggling? We could get to the answer if we'll be open to hearing it. Amen? Praise the Lord. John 8:36 says, so if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Amen. I want to pose a question to you. What if you removed all, and I mean all. When I say all, I don't mean except for a few, but I mean all. What if you remove all expectations out of your life? What if you remove all expectations from yourself and you remove all expectations from others? I'm just going to trust God. No expectations. I have no expectation except for God to be God. That's where I'm going to have my expectation. I'm going to expect God to be God. I'm going to wake up today, I'm not even expecting to eat. Let's get serious about it. I'm not even expecting to be able to have enough to get through the day. I'm not even expecting to know how to get through the day. I'm going to wake up today and I'm putting all my expectation on Him. See, you can't have no expectations. No expectations is foolishness. That's no place to live. Amen? And God has not called His people to live with no expectations. He has called us to expect Him, to believe Him, to trust Him. And that's exactly what He wants from us, to dwell in His faithfulness, to dwell in His land. Amen? To be able to know, to trust God as we do that. So how do we do that? You start with having no expectations on anything other than God. Lord, I'm open to You. I only expect You. Praise the Lord. You know what will happen? You'll be less selfish. Because when somebody says something to you you don't like, I have no expectation for them to say something I do like. Praise the Lord. It's that simple, right? I have no expectation. When somebody doesn't bless you, well, that's fine. I didn't expect them to. No expectations on you. You come up against a situation where you can't conquer it, that's okay. I didn't expect to be able to. I'm serious, man. I didn't expect that I could conquer it. I didn't expect I could get over this. What would happen if the devil throws something at you, some kind of opposition comes your way? Make it, I don't care what, think about your greatest opposition in life, and it comes up, it presents itself before you, it's a mountain you obviously can't move, and you just look at it, you look at the devil and you say, no expectation. I didn't think that I could. You brought it before me, but it doesn't matter because I don't follow me. See, that's the problem, folks, is that we follow our expectations and then we're disappointed when it's not what we expected. Well, I thought that it would have been like this, or I thought you would have done this, or I thought you would have done it this way, or I thought you would have made it this way, or I thought that they would want to pay me more, or I thought that it would work out in my favor. See, you had expectations for things you had no business having expectations of. Why? Because your faith was in those things. Listen, if you can be sad because you didn't get what you want, your hope and your joy was in that thing you wanted. That's what I learned years ago. Praise God. For years, I wanted a motorcycle. Years, I'm telling you, years I wanted a motorcycle. And I could never afford one. Way before I was serving God. For years, from the time I was 18 until the time I was in my, just 2 years ago, I wanted a motorcycle. But you know what I did? I got to the place where I didn't care. I said, I got to the place where I don't care. In fact, I got to a place, I even got myself to a place where I didn't even want one anymore. Praise the Lord. What is that? It's getting rid of expectation. You know, and I didn't think about it in terms of expectation, but I just got to the place where it wasn't a thing to me anymore. You know what happened? One day I come to church here. I go into my office just like I always do when I come in. Went into the office, and I don't know what it was, but I came out of the office. I think I said to Josh and John, right? I said to the two of them, I said, I don't know how, I don't know why, but I'm getting a motorcycle this year. The Lord just put it in my heart, just dropped in my heart. I wasn't seeking God for it. Praise the Lord. Not at all. And you know what? He brought it and it was paid for in like almost no time. It was like just, it was like thing. And now it's just, it sits there and it's, well, I rode it three times this summer, four or five times maybe this summer. This entire summer is all I did. But I don't know anything on it. But I had no expectation for it. See, a lot of people will look at stuff that other people have. They'll look at stuff like that, and they'll be like, well, I want that. You know, I try to tell my boys this all the time. Like, listen, you're in your 20s. You're not going to have everything right now. Yeah. Be okay with that. Yeah. If you're not, you will. Listen, I'm going to speak to both of you right now. I want you to hear me. Praise the Lord. And anyone else want to listen, you can listen. But I'm going to speak to the both of you right now. If you force yourself to have the things that you want, you will go without things for a long, long time. Praise the Lord, because the truth of the matter is, if I had submitted to God when I was your age, that motorcycle would have been here decades before. Decades before. But sometimes you got to be okay with not having enough. You know, sometimes, praise the Lord, sometimes you're going to do things. I remember times of, I had this little, what was that, Ford Focus, little two-door hatchback car. You know what I mean? One of those little, like, little cars that just get... You know, that's what it was. Well, I had that in building projects. I remember going to Home Depot and trying to tie boards and then pulling over every half a mile to retie the boards on top of the car and holding them like that. Like, yeah, that's how I did it. Now I have a truck. I don't have a problem with that. Praise the Lord. But it took me time to get there. But see, the time was, and the reason it took me so long to get there is because it took me so long to learn that it wasn't that thing that I needed. See, I figured out a way. And sometimes it's okay. Actually, I'm just going to, praise God, hallelujah. Don't get mad at me. Okay, you ready? Because I'm going to say share something. Years ago, my son started working for my brother. My brother has a dental practice, and he was hiring him to do some things. And he was going to, he wanted to hire him to work for him, and he was talking to me about it. He asked if I was okay with that. I said, yeah, that would be good. And he's like, this is what I think I'm going to pay him. And I'm like, no, don't pay him that. I said, it's way too much money. Yeah. I was like, he doesn't need to make that much money. Yeah. He needs to start in a place where he's not making a lot of money. Yeah. Why? Because if he doesn't, it's never going to mean anything to him. Yeah. Now, my brother wanted to be a blessing, and thank God for people like that. You know, but sometimes we can get too much, and that it can be, it becomes a liability to us. Praise the Lord. You see, one of the pluses of coming from nothing is you learn how to live on nothing. I don't know how mine all this, but praise the Lord. Glory to God. But I'm talking about learning to live in faith. Have no expectations. I don't need this thing. There's things all the time I want. My wife, I want more things. My wife doesn't want things. I want things. I want stuff. I am a stuff person. I am blessed by stuff. Are you blessed by stuff? Some people are. Some people don't care. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm going to tell you where I'm at. I'm blessed by stuff. When I get stuff, especially stuff I want, I'm excited about it. Sometimes people give me stuff I didn't even want. I still get excited about it just because it's more stuff. Amen? Praise the Lord. I've learned to back away from that a little bit too. But my point, the point that I'm trying to make is I don't need any of it. I'm blessed by it. But I tell the Lord all the time that I'll give it up. I'll tell the Lord all the time that I'll sacrifice it. And I've proven it over the years. And I'm not saying I don't have more to learn. Of course I do. Because you know what? There's another level. There's always another level. How do we know that? Because there's always a level you ain't at.
Right.
Amen. Do we believe that God wants to bless us? Do we believe that God wants to take us through to a good place, the promised land, so to speak? You know, it's the same thing. When he took the Israelites into the promised land, he said, this is what I have for you. It's great. But you ain't getting it for free. You're going to have to walk through some things. You're going to have to face some giants. You're going to have to look at some things that you can't conquer. And you're going to have to be okay with it. You're going to have to learn to trust me. This is what crucifying the flesh is really all about. Because if you learn to crucify the flesh in this way, to say that my opinion doesn't matter. What my needs, my wants, we'll start with my wants. Because those are all things we think everybody thinks. Well, nobody needs a want. They just want a want.
Yeah.
But you don't need the want. You just want it. So it's okay to not want or to not have the want because it's not a need.
Yeah.
But then we talk about needs and people think, well, I need the need. I wanted the want, but I need the need. I know I need the need. Praise the Lord. And you know you need the need because the need presses you. The need, see, the want might follow you around and speak to you, but the need presses on you. And you want the need to be taken care of when you need it. Praise the Lord. You want it when you need it. Glory to God, right? Praise God. Hallelujah. For needs and wants. But you have to be okay with not having all you need. Why? Because God won't provide? No, that's foolishness. We have to be so settled with what God wants to do. Folks, I don't know where the message, how it got to where it got, but it certainly got there, praise the Lord, and I know that it's helping us.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. I know that it's doing a lot for me anyways. I don't know. It might not do anything for you, but it's helping me, and that just blesses my socks off, right? I mean, I can literally feel my socks leaving my feet right now. The only thing that's keeping my socks on are my shoes. If I didn't have shoes on, I'd be barefoot up here because my socks would probably be in Josh's lap right now. I'm just telling you, I'm so excited about the Word of God and what God wants to do for us. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But it takes us crucifying us. So I wasn't trying to take away from you because I knew what it would build in him. Because what it would build in him, if you'll listen to it, or if anybody will listen to it, you know, I'm not saying he's not. I'm just saying if you'll listen to it, if you'll continue. Do you know the lessons that I've learned in life continually speak to me? That's why I love being 45 and not 25. Because 25, I didn't know anything. 45, I don't know much, but I know more than I did when I was 25. Amen? And the lessons I've learned so far bless me on a daily basis. Glory to God. You know, one of the things that blessed me is this morning. I decided to do something, you know, that I didn't ask my wife about that affected her. And so she brought it to me wondering about it. And I said, yeah, I did that thing. And then I started getting mad about it because she was questioning me. And, you know, and then I started making her mad because I was getting mad. And you know how that all goes, right? And so then she starts cooking and making, she was making breakfast and she putting the toast in the toaster and getting the bag. You were a little bit letting me know that you were. But you want to know what? I've learned that it isn't good to keep her unhappy. So you know what I did? I immediately started working on making her happy. Immediately. Now, that was a little bit of a short circuit in our day that lasted all of 10 minutes at that. But 10, 15 years ago, that would have lasted all day. I did dump chicken on her later. Praise the Lord. I got her back. Praise the Lord. You just Listen, if I ask you to hold the bucket, just don't do it, right? But, you know, the point that I'm trying to make is that it was just a thing. It doesn't matter anyways what it was because it doesn't matter. But the point is that, you know, I've learned now to rectify some things rather quickly, you know. And when I do that, my day is happy. My day is blessed. This all happened before the kids were even up. And so they didn't even know what was going on. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Turn with me to Hebrews 10. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10. Yeah, I've been learning more and more, and I'll tell you what, I'm going to leave it open that I don't know everything yet purposely, because I'm going to tell you, there's still days that aren't that great. You ever have a day that's not that great even when you know stuff? Right? There's days that aren't that great, and I'm leaving the door open to say, well, there's something else I don't know. I'll just learn it at some point. Amen. Amen? I mean, that's really what we're doing, right? We're living life. We're dwelling in the land. We might as well do it in faith. I said, we might as well do it in faith. Trust him. He can make a mess. I certainly can't make anything out of this mess, right? What mess are you talking about? Whatever mess. My life. My life has been a crazy mess until God was in the picture, right? But when God comes in the picture, he'll help you straighten things out. But you got to learn to crucify you. You got to learn to put you down. Because you know what? You know what's the most annoying thing is when you're trying to drive somewhere and somebody else grabs the wheel. When you're trying to go somewhere in a certain direction and somebody else is forcing you to go in a different direction. That's why the Bible talks about being yoked and how we're yoked. We need to be, the only one we're supposed to be yoked to is Him. Because if we're yoked to Him, we go in the right direction. But how terrible is it if you're yoked in the wrong place and people are trying to go in the different directions? You all know what I'm talking about. Amen. Hebrews 10:19. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. He'll get us through. He'll get us through if we trust Him. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He inaugurated for us, through the veil, that is His flesh. So, remember, in the Old Testament, the only way they could get to God was to go through a priest, and they had to go through that veil in the temple and the Holy of Holies, and no one was allowed in there, and they couldn't really have access to God, but they only went in there at certain times. Certain people could go in certain times, and now He gave us a new and living way, which He inaugurated for us through the veil, that is His flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. What does it mean to be people of faith? We have an assurance. If we're going to live this new life, if we're going to live this life that God has for us, there is only one way to live it. And that's an assurance. I am assured that where I'm at. Listen, you know one of the things that I've learned in life? I can be pretty sure of something, and then my mind can be changed later. I'm okay with that. Why? Because as the Spirit walks me through things, sometimes I'm going to think that I know. And sometimes for a while, something I will know something for a while. But then sometimes that changes too. I'm flexible in that. I try to be that way as a pastor, as a minister. You know, when I talk about things changing in my ministry and stuff like that and the things I believe, you know, I don't want you to get freaked out and think, oh, great, where's he going now? No, I'm just following the Lord. I'm just open enough to say that I don't always know it all. I know where I'm at. I do my best to know where I'm at and follow the Spirit. And He deals with the fact with all of us that we're less than perfect, that we don't all know it, that we ain't all got it. But if we will follow Him, He will walk us through it. Amen? But the first thing comes with the assurance, having the assurance of faith. Amen? Let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. This is what I was talking about. Hold fast to your confession. What are you going to hold fast to? Your confession. What are you going to hold? When the Bible says to fight the good fight of faith, it's called holding fast your confession. What is my confession? Okay, I'm in this situation right now. I don't know what to do. I don't know where I'm going to get to. I don't know how I'm going to get there. But my confession is, I trust God. And then you start allowing the peace to enter your life because you trust God. Maybe there's a desire in your heart that you haven't seen come to pass yet. Lord, I trust you with it. Maybe there's things that you want that you can't ever figure out a way to get to. I trust you, Lord. I trust you. I remember this. This was a simple thing, but this is how God works. He works in simple things. My wife wanted nothing to do with a dog. I wanted a dog in the worst way. And for years, I got into a place where I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to be okay with it, but it just wouldn't leave me. I wanted a dog. I desired one ever since I was a little kid. I wanted a dog. It was important to me. And my wife was like, I can't have one. I can't do it. And so I went before the Lord. I finally went before the Lord because we were at an impasse. You ever been at an impasse with your spouse? I went before the Lord and I said, God, I'm submitting this to you. Change my heart or change her heart, but someone's heart has to change. Because it was one of those things that was that important. Now, as it turns out, my wife knows having a dog helps me. It's having a dog around the house when, especially because I do most of my, I'm there alone all day long and I'm not an alone person. I like to be with others, amen. And so having a dog there is a blessing to me, amen. Praise the Lord. But the point that I'm trying to make is all of a sudden the Lord enabled a way for it to happen, which pleases both of us. Now, neither of us perfectly, but we're both content with how we live. We're both happy in our home. And we did so because I know that this is the reason, because I didn't just go to the Lord and say, change her heart. I said, Lord, change my heart or change her heart. Change one of them, but one of them's got to change. And see, that's exactly what God wants to see from us. This is walking in faith, is saying, you know what? This is something I want, but I'm willing to put it before you, Lord, and say, I'll never have it if that's your will. I'm okay with that. Sacrificing it before him. It doesn't mean that you'll never have it. Some things that we do that with, you won't ever have. You will never experience here. And that seems sad to us, but really the truth of the matter is the Bible tells us that God is the one who gives us the ability to enjoy wealth. In other words, God's the one who gives us the ability to enjoy the things that we have. Anything that's above and beyond what we need. And so if there's no ability to enjoy it there, you can have whatever you thought it was you wanted, but it's not a blessing to you. And I've learned that in life. And so I don't need something that's not a blessing. In fact, back to the motorcycle story. And I'm telling you these things. I'm giving you these examples. I feel led to do this. I'm giving these examples because I think that they're important. In that season, I knew I was getting a motorcycle. I still wasn't making it a thing. And it doesn't have to be a motorcycle. It's not even about the motorcycle having, you know, stuff. That's not what it's about. It's about whatever, if you just want to think of it this way, whatever we desire in life that hinders us from being at peace or having peace. Amen? Whatever it is. And I put things before the Lord, and I got this really incredible offer before I got that bike. I got a really incredible offer on another one. It was a wonderful offer. But it was going to cost some money. And so I told the person that offered it to me, I said, I'm going to have to seek the Lord on it. And so I put it before the Lord, and I just said that, and then I moved on with my day. And I happened to be in the sanctuary. I was right in this spot, right over here, and I was praying, just praying, seeking God, not about that, about just other things. And then all of a sudden in my spirit, very clearly I hear, the motorcycle would bless you, the payment would not. That's all I needed. So I immediately text the guy and I said, listen, I was like, I know it's not for me, but I appreciate the offer. They were fine with it, moved on. And then a short time later, God brought me that. See, it wasn't what I thought. It wasn't what I expected, but it was something that blesses me. And see, now it blesses us because it doesn't hurt us in life at all to have it. And at any point, we own it outright. It's one of the things that we own outright. At any point, if the Lord said, give that to somebody, I could give that and be a blessing to somebody. If the Lord said to sell it and take the money and do this with it, I could do that. Or if we just had nothing to do with it at all, and we're like, hey, we wanted to go on a vacation instead of having this motorcycle, we could do that as well. You understand? And so if you learn to follow the Lord in these things, if you learn, really, it's not just following the Lord, but it's learning to trust Him and to be able to sacrifice those things and crucify the flesh and put those things. And we're not even getting to where I wanted to get, but that's okay. I think that we got where we needed to go. And that means a lot more than getting to where we wanted to get. See, that's another thing. Expectation. I have no expectations of the service. Praise the Lord. I might get through it, I might not, but it doesn't matter. Where we're going to get to is good, and that's what we needed, amen? So let's try to put our expectations in His court, taking them out of our court, and we'll be blessed, amen? Amen.